In fact, that was one song that I put my tape recorder up to onto the speaker of the TV to
I
record.
remember.
You remember?
I remember.
I remember, you little dork. I remember that.
Shut up, I'm recording the Rock and Roll Express's music.
Don't say a word. I'm recording.
You asshole, you messed up Rock and Roll Express's music.
I got to wait till next Saturday.
I love it.
That's actually how I sounded back in 1988, too. So,
You sounded like Sal Rosenberg from the Jerky Boys.
oh my God, dude, way to go, dude. I'll bring my shoes just so I have them.
Yeah, you're asking me about the meetup. Should I bring my shoes and glasses just so I have them?
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo. Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff. The cream will rise to the top. Oh, yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 424 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. My name is Jeff, and sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, we got breaking news. That Batman that Norm has, he said, would you do it for $52? What he paid for it?
52?
52.
Sold.
Sold? Okay.
Sold.
Let me text him back. This is a live on-air purchase with Norm.
This all came about like right before you hit record.
Scott said, you son of a bitch, he's in.
Exactly. Verbatim.
How are you doing, Scott?
I'm doing good, dude. Ready to record. Yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited for Philadelphia, dude. As we get closer and closer and a lot more people are hitting us up. And
we're less than a month away.
Oh, I know, man.
Like, as we record right now, in 1 month from right now, we will be in Philly, feasting on cheesesteaks, drowning our sorrows from eating so many cheesesteaks, and whiskey, hopefully. Gonna go to the mini meetup. We're gonna have our own meetup. WWE World, WrestleMania, WrestleCon. It's just gonna be wrestling debauchery.
Oh, absolutely it is, man. You spoke of the meetup. Again, I want to thank everybody that is donating. And where is that meetup? It's City Tap House, located in 2 Logan Square, 100 North 18th Street at the City Tap House in Philadelphia. Come one, come all. We'll have prizes. We'll have giveaways. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to do the giveaways, Scott. We've got quite a few big giveaways to give away.
I thought we were talking about Rochambeau last week. Is that off the table?
All right, dude, if people want a Rochambeau, hey, more power to them. I mean, that's the way to go.
Like I said last week, going to be a lot of people walking funny in Philly after the meetup.
Some people could just, you know, rock, paper, scissors, you know.
Hey, it's not as fun as Rochambeau, though. Well, at least as the hosts.
Yeah, I know.
That'd be fun to watch. I'll feel like that movie Gladiator, the people sitting up in the balconies.
Speaking of Gladiator, dude, how cool would that be if they did American Gladiators? And when I say they, Michael Canick and the major group over there did a American Gladiator set of figures.
Oh, I'd be such a big fan of that. That, I mean, personally, I'd be out just because that's not what I would budget my figure funds for. But there are so many fans of American Gladiator. I mean, even after the time has passed from that documentary, and well, because we saw it before the documentary as well.
Mm-hmm.
People would go crazy for American Gladiators. Then the documentary came out. People started talking about it even more. But I really do think that there is a want amongst the fan base for American Gladiator figures. And it could be just another one of those untapped markets that we've talked about. Is this breaking news?
No, that should be the new breaking news music, though. That's cool.
Record it. Make it so.
Because American Gladiators is way cooler than Star Wars, you know?
That should be our new Fully Posable intro music. Like, no more intro to Fully Posable. It's just Jeff doing that music, that song.
Or 8-bit American Gladiator.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, those were just made for that scale, that kind of smaller scale, bendy, articulated. It really doesn't matter. But then you're going to start to crave the play sets too.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about that, book it or leave it. We've kind of done something similar with American Gladiators. Would you fund it? And I think that there's enough of a fan base there that I would say, yeah, let's do it. Just small numbers, see what happens, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of play with it and see. But yeah, I do think that there is a demand there for that product.
So I do have a funny story for you. I was talking to one of my buddies out here. His name's Jeff also. We call him 2F Jeff and I'm 1F Jeff. That's how everybody remembers us.
1F and 2F Jeff?
1F and 2F Jeff. That's how everybody remembers us.
Got it.
I mean, we look nothing alike, but I mean, they still just call us. That's how they remember us. Anyways, so I was showing him some Street Fighter figures because he's a diehard Street Fighter fan.
The new ones, those are Jada, right?
Jada Toys.
Jada, yeah.
Well, he found, and I think it was the Sideshow Collectibles, Chun-Li. And so for some reason, she was doing like deadlifts or something like that.
Was it a statue or was it a figure?
I think it was a statue.
Okay.
And he lost his mind. He loved it. He was like, holy crap. Like, this is awesome, but it's also expensive. So I'm out on it, right?
Oh, yeah. Sideshow. Yeah.
So then I sent him a thing today. I was like, hey, dude, check this out. And I just happened to find a Chun-Li Storm Collectibles. And he's like, what company is that? I was all Storm Collectibles. He goes, Jesus Christ, how many companies are there? I was like, welcome to the magic of Wonderland, you know?
Yeah, this is the wonderful world of toys where there are 16 different wrestling figure manufacturers, at least 3 Street Fighter manufacturers, but believe it or not, 0 American Gladiator manufacturers.
Possibly one later on in the future. We'll see.
Possibly and hopefully one. We'll see.
Yeah, so he was like, oh my God, who's Storm Collectibles? I was like, oh baby.
If he's into Street Fighter, chances are good that he's also into Mortal Kombat. I don't know if the forbidden door of figures for Mortal Kombat has opened up for him yet, but there are some badass looking Mortal Kombat Storm figures out there.
So he does like Mortal Kombat, but yeah. He is a diehard Street Fighter fan.
Okay, got it. So he doesn't, that is his bread and butter is that's, Street Fighter, not necessarily Mortal Kombat.
Exactly. That's his wheelhouse is Street Fighter. He loves Batman too. I was like, holy crap, dude. That's like Scott's wheelhouse. And he goes, yeah. So I may send him some McFarlane Batmans. And he's like, God damn it. Stop.
You're going to show him that one that I'm getting off of Norm. You're going to be like, yeah, $52. He's going to be like, what?
What?
Yeah. No, that dude, that one Norm is hooking me up with is incredible. You should show that to the Batman fan.
Yeah, I will. Well, you can remember his name. It's 2F Jeff.
It's Jeff.
Jeffafa. 2F Jeff.
Right. Dude, he's going to hate your guts for showing him McFarlane Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was out on Batman figures. I hadn't bought Batman figures in years. And then it's one of those slippery slopes with me. Like, you get one or two, and then you're like, oh, well, I just need this one to complete, and I'm not going to get any more. And you know you're lying to yourself when you say that, because then all of a sudden you have, like, 86 of them lying in your room, and, man, what happened? The addiction is real.
You wake up, you got a girl next to you, you wake up the next day, you got 4 next to you.
Yeah.
You know, that's the way it works, dude. That's the way it works. Just
I don't know that story.
It's that slippery slope.
Something like that.
Oh, if you'd like to get any of our shirts, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. You can follow us on the Twitter, X, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Opposable, Instagram, Fully Opposable, WF. You can go back and listen to our past podcasts on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate and review and subscribe on iTunes. And you can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all. Send it on over to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. This past week's got on the TB Toycast. I'm going to jump into it a little bit earlier. Daniel Cross, Breaker's tag team partner on Rumble Wheel, debated me on what is better, Maximum Sweat or LJNs.
Oh, wait. This was a real discussion that happened?
See, that's what everybody was texting me. They were like, wait, is this really happening? He loves Maximum Sweat and he thinks LJNs are trash.
Wow. What? This was a real conversation.
This is a real conversation.
Debate.
It was a real conversation and debate. You know what? He loves them, and kudos to him. You know, it's all about that collector mentality, you know?
It's all subjective. I mean, I get it, dude, but I mean, you're going up against the GOAT here. Mm-hmm. You know, you're comparing Maximum Sweat to LJN. That's like Kiki Vandeweghe. I don't know. Was he trash back at Rex Chapman? I don't know. Like the trash, like, and you're comparing him to Michael Jordan. That's essentially the debate that you had.
Did you really say Rex Chapman?
Rex Chapman. Yeah. Who tuned into Fully Posable today, fully expecting to hear the name Rex Chapman on the show?
You're welcome. Question mark?
I don't even remember. Dan Marley. Okay, I don't know. Start throwing me trash players. Like, that's kind of where this argument was going. I mean, again, we're the huge LJN guys here. That was our childhood, and you're gonna bring Maximum Sweat up against that?
By the way, in Arizona, there is a Dan Marley restaurant.
Well, of course there is. He was a Phoenix Sun.
Oh yeah. But I just thought that was kind of funny. I was like, yeah, Marley's. That's actually kind of a good steakhouse type name. I like that. It's like in Denver, there's an Elway's.
That's another good one. That's a good name for a restaurant. Marley's totally fits, dude. I bet with that last name, he was like, you know what? I'm gonna play in the NBA a few years, make a few million bucks, then I'm gonna open a steakhouse, and it's just gonna be my last name, apostrophe S. Done. That's the plan.
By the way, if you are in Denver for steak, don't go to Elway's. Elway's is good, but go to Perry's. That's over in Greenwood Village, I think. But anyways, hella good, dude. They have this asparagus with like this lemon crab drizzled on top.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, dude.
Perry's makes more sense in Chicago, actually.
Dude. So this steakhouse in Colorado, this asparagus is so good, dude. And then the steak, you know how they always say, oh, when you cut into a steak, you don't even have to put pressure. That's what this is, dude.
Ah, got
you it. Literally don't even have to cut, dude. It's like very minimal. You can cut it with a butter knife, if that makes sense.
Yum. Okay.
Oh, dude, it's hella good.
But see, Perry's would make sense in Chicago because of the fridge.
Okay, I see where you're going with that.
Because you can't call it McMahon's, because they had Jim McMahon, the quarterback, but then people could confuse that with Vince. But you don't want to go there because the food is shit.
Jim McMahon's all, Vince ruined my name.
He sullied my good name that was Jim McMahon.
He ruined the great name of McMahon.
He shit all over it.
I'm going to shit on his head. And then pay him $3 million to shut up about it.
But I'm not wearing the brown crown because of him.
Oh, gross.
Okay, now I'm hungry. We've been talking about food and steak and cutting meat with butter knives. And
well, dude, that's what's going to happen when we get to Philadelphia, dude. Those late night Philly cheesesteaks.
Oh, dude, they're open 24 hours. Are you kidding me?
Oh, dude, like literally, I'm going to be getting back from Philadelphia and I'm going to be downing X-Lax and Metamucil to clean me out, dude, to try to push through the cheese.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But you know what? We're champions. We have steel stomachs.
We've got the eye of the tiger.
We do. We do. That's our theme music. Yeah. Going into Philly, that's going to be our theme music. That was one of the Rocky themes, I think.
It was one of the Rocky movies.
Yeah. 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 That's perfect.
That's why I said it.
That's perfect. Well done, dude.
Thank you.
Way to combine Philly and Rocky and cheesesteaks and eye of the tiger and pushing through. I love it. It all ties together.
Who was that politician? It was all, pyaw!
Who we're going to North Carolina. Then down to South Carolina. Watching Chappelle do that was so fucking fantastic.
Oh, God, dude.
Oh, so good.
Oh,
so good.
I was watching the Prince episode last night of Chappelle's show.
Oh, man. That's one of those that you can watch it a dozen times in a row. And it doesn't get old. Charlie Murphy is so gold in that skit. And Chappelle, it's magic. Like, that's just, it's one of those all-time, like, you throw, like, the variety show bits into a hopper and you start pulling out the winners. Like, that is, it's up there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the greatest of all time.
Oh, far and beyond.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Scott, have you got anything outside of your Batman figure that you just got off Norm?
Let's see. So we got that. And yeah, I just placed an order. What the hell did I order? Oh, I ordered up the Ultimate Edition Cody, KO, and Sammy.
Good move. I applaud you on that.
Yeah, I had to. I mean, KO and Sammy, are you kidding? And it's from the WrestleMania main event that we were at and may have shed tears because somebody was cutting onions in the section down below us. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a no brainer. I had to get those.
So I saw my bill over at BBTS and I had to back out. It like verklempt me. I was like,
verklempt you.
I was verklempt. I was very taken back. I was like, God damn it. I have Philly to pay for. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't handle
it. Was your pre-order total?
Dude, it was everything.
Okay. So wait, do you have a pile of loot going?
Well, I didn't have a pile of loot. Do you know if they, I know this question gets asked a gazillion times. Do they charge when they ship?
No, they charge when the item comes in stock.
Okay. Cause I had some stuff that was in my cart that was already in stock. That was like 130 something, $140.
So you can still build a pile of loot. If you got pre-orders on top of stuff that's in stock, you can choose to hold it and have it put into a pile of loot.
Okay.
So the way that they do it is when you pre-order something, when the item comes in, they charge you the face value of it. So if it's $24.99, your credit card is getting hit for $24.99. When you ship the item, you pay flat rate. I think it's like $4 shipping or something crazy, plus applicable taxes on the item.
Okay.
So you pay, you've already paid your $24.99, but when you ship it, you pay the tax and then you pay a flat rate for all of your items. So like that huge box I got, I think was like $4 or $5 to ship. It was insane.
Okay. I may have to go back on and just do it.
What, ship it?
No, just build up the pile of loot and ship when everything gets in.
Yeah. That's the move. And they give you, I believe it's 90 days to ship everything. So 3 months. Okay. They'll hold it for you before it's like, okay, it's coming out now.
So if the items are in stock, but you hold it for shipment, does that mean they charge everything when everything ships? Or if they're already in stock, they'll charge you right there?
If it's in stock, you're charged right then.
Okay, got it.
Yep, and then when pre-orders come in stock, they charge you for the item, but only face value. And then when you ship the item, they charge you tax plus shipping. So the tax on each item plus the flat rate shipping.
Okay.
I love it. It's so great. That pile of loot feature is so fantastic.
Also, for the meetup, I've mentioned the great Sean Ng. He is sending his test shot. It's en route right now to my house, dude.
It is coming your way.
It is. Yep.
I got a text from him this morning that said it was heading to Jeff's house. And I'm so excited that he's entrusting our meetup because now he's going to be partnering up with some other shows, some other venues as well to do these same types of giveaway type things. And I'm glad that we were kind of the guinea pig. And now he's found that there was a lot of buzz that came from this and he's going to be doing more of it. So definitely stay tuned to KWK. He's going to be partnering up. I don't want to tip his hand to say who else is going to be doing it, but chances are good that you already know and love the next person that's going to be doing it. So I'm excited for Sean. I love his line. I love the amount of detail and attention that he is paying to each and every small little thing with each of these figures coming out. I think you guys are going to be super happy. But like we had the conversation with Canik last week, the proof is in the pudding, right? People need to get these things in hand. There needs to be word of mouth out in the community. Hey, Sean's got a great product. That means that Series 3, Series 4, Series 5, those pre-order numbers are going to go way up for him.
Yep.
Because people are going to see the amount of detail and attention that he's paid to each and every single figure that he's releasing, and word's going to spread quick. And those low numbers maybe that he's seeing now, and from what he's saying, those numbers are good. Those numbers are only going to get better for him. Guaranteed.
Also, on top of that, Michael Canik will have the WrestleCon Big Rubber Guy exclusive at the meetup for the giveaway.
Yeah, two massive prizes right there.
Steve Fontas is going to be doing a giveaway as well. One of the gifts that he will have, part of it, is the Kayfabe wrestling book that he was talking about on his show this past a couple weeks ago. That will be part of the giveaway. Chad Ecto-Young will have a giveaway. We will have a giveaway. We are giving away the Bruiser Brody uncirculated figure.
Yeah, it's the initial batch that had the issues with the limbs.
Yeah. So don't take this Bruiser Brody out because it will have leprosy. So
don't touch it.
Don't touch it. You can just leave it in the box. If you open it up, we're not responsible. That's on you guys.
We cannot be held responsible. Yeah.
That's on you guys, man.
Yeah. Your limbs start falling off. Don't blame us.
Yeah. The leprosy will happen. So, okay. I don't know if I haven't popped the box open. So, but there's going to be plenty of prizes, plenty of giveaways. at the
Ryan
show.
Buds is going to have a gift for a listener.
Yes,
so
thank you to Ryan Buds.
Yeah, big, big thanks. It's going to be fantastic. I'm super excited. Food, drinks, fun, and figure talk. I mean, what more could you ask? And prizes. Come on now.
Huge.
Huge.
Huge. So anyway, City Tap House located at 2 Logan Square, 100 North 18th Street. April 5th, 4 p.m. between WrestleCon and SmackDown. So you guys can hang out a little bit and then mosey on over to SmackDown for that night.
If you're not there, you won't win. Show up.
Yes, exactly. You cannot write your name in, God damn it.
Yeah, we don't want your name on a piece of paper. That does not qualify, sir.
Yes.
Or ma'am.
No more of questions regarding that, please. You have to be physically present. You can't just write your name in or anything like that.
You're not there in spirit.
God damn
Get
it.
Get lost.
Son of a bitch.
Stop asking.
Stop asking, you pricks.
Just show up.
Where's the crows? Anyways. Again, April 5th, 4 p.m., City Tap House. I haven't gotten anything in, dude. What did you
order at BBTS, though?
Well,
or you didn't actually pull the trigger on it.
I didn't pull the trigger. I saw how much the cart was, and I was like, holy crap, I have Philadelphia. Plus, on top of that, dude, everything seems to be happening this week. And I'll get to the news. The Bulldogs over at Wrestling Collector Shop.
Yep.
We've got Power Town's wrestlers, Remco's.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, stop. Holy crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Stop loading up our carts before WrestleMania.
I know.
We're trying to conserve.
We're trying to conserve right now. Come on now. But I still pulled the trigger on the big rubber guys. And spoiler alert, when this show drops, I will be pulling the trigger on some of the Remco All-Stars.
Samesies. Yep.
Samesies. Got it. All right. Well, let's get into the news, Scott. What do you say?
Yeah, we may as well just jump right into exactly what you were just talking about.
Well, let's start off with the Great Epic Toys. They had a booth this past weekend. I'm not sure what convention or show that was at. However, they did have a booth where they were selling off a lot of Epic Toys / Chalice stuff. But the ones that caught our eye, and it caught a lot of people's eye, they are continuing with the Bobby the Brain Heenan, retro style figure.
I'm in.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, it's that good. Yeah, and it's Bobby Heenan, dude. I have to have that. I know I'll never be able to get it signed, but I love the look of it. The fingers pointing at the brain. The jacket sparkles. The red jacket. I love everything about it. When it goes up for pre-order, I know I've traditionally been out on the retros. I've said no to a lot of ones that were like really hard to say no to. I can't say no to Bobby the Brain, especially one that looks that good.
Like Scott said, it does have a red sparkling jacket. The finger is pointed up. Also, the one that caught my eye, I don't know about you, Scott, but it was Boris Zukov.
Outstanding.
Boris Zukov will have the Russian top hat and the Russian flag.
Yeah, very, very well done. The DDP looked fantastic. Great work over there, guys. Seriously, those looked amazing.
Yeah. So that was shown off from Epic Toys. All right.
But you know, the quality and the appearance, they all have to be there on these things because there is so much competition in that market that if you're not bringing it like Epic Toys, like KWK, like Zombie, if you're not bringing it like that, you're just not going to play in the market. I'm sorry, but there is so much stiff competition between names and quality. You have to have both.
Yeah.
You know, otherwise you're not going to be competitive. So it's good to see Epic bringing it with these names. That Boris Zukov, outstanding. The Heenan, they got me. The DDP looks great. So job well done, guys. I'm impressed.
And you know what? That's a great point. In this retro game, you really need to bring it. If you look at KWK, look at his Max Moon and all the accessories that comes with the Max Moon with the arm gauntlets.
Right.
And then you look over at Mantar and he's got the bull mask and everything. That's like, holy crap. You know, that blows you away.
The deco, the attention to detail, everything you just mentioned, Jeff, it all weighs into how the collector's dollar is spent, because with all the competition out there, we can't buy every single thing. Right. It's such a competitive market for our dollars now. And, you know, our dollars are stretched super thin with the prices of things out there now. It's a fact of life. So if you're bringing the names and you're bringing the quality and you're bringing what the collectors want to see, you're going to win, you know? So kudos to these guys, man. They're doing everything they can to stay competitive, and job well done.
All right, let's jump over to Jazzwares, AEW. Sting Supreme figure, Walmart exclusive. He'll have the bat, long jacket, two Sting shirts, one long sleeve, one short sleeve, three heads total, and a Sting mask.
Did they do the extra shirts in lieu of the legs? Is that kind of what happened here?
Possibly. That's a good call. I forgot about them doing a lower torso.
Yeah, because I just happen to have my CM Punk sitting here with the extra legs. And I was just wondering, because of those two Sting shirts, I was wondering if maybe that took the place of the legs. But regardless, I'm picking this one up. This would be an excellent one to get signed. A lot of window space. Sting could really dress it up with something cool. So I could see a lot of signatures being thrown on this thing. I don't know the release date on this. If it was by WrestleCon, that would be outstanding. If not, still, Sting is going to be doing plenty of convention appearances. So this is going to get a lot of signatures.
Yeah, looked really good. And I'm actually shocked you said that you were in on it.
It's Sting, dude. It's Sting and it's the Supreme. It's the best of the best from what AEW offers. That will officially be my second AEW figure.
Is the Sting figure. Okay. All right.
Yep.
And Sting just had his last match.
Yeah.
Favorite Sting match?
Oh, man. Definitely not Starrcade 97. His stuff against Vader.
Yeah.
I think is really underrated.
Yep.
Nobody expected Vader to beat Sting. And when he did, it was like, whoa, wait, what? Like, Sting just won. Like, what are you... Vader? Really? It did a number of things. It gave Sting a legitimate threat, and it established Vader as a monster in the United States. That was a win-win as far as I'm concerned, because that was easy money after that for those two guys. I loved his matches against Vader. Would have loved to see him go one-on-one with Steamboat.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that never happened. But I'm a big fan of like early Surfer Sting's matches. You know, it's easy to say Flair.
Mm-hmm.
Any match against Flair, because those guys could just close their eyes and have an outstanding five-star match, you know. But I'm going to say his stuff with Vader is my favorite. Honorable mention to his stuff with Cactus Jack.
Okay. I got to agree with you on that one, man. Okay, favorite Sting theme.
Oh, again, it's Man Called Sting.
Oh, you like that one?
I do. I love Man Called Sting.
So what a lot of people don't remember is that Sting had a theme prior to A Man Called Sting, and it was like
it was just a guitar riff,
and I love that one more than A Man Called Sting, because A Man Called Sting was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous, and that's why I loved it.
I mean,
it was that cheesy, and we've talked about it on the show, the Ricky Steamboat one.
Yeah,
it was just like, wait, what?
He would cheat on his wife.
He's not gonna cheat on his wife, and you put that in his theme song? Like, we're gonna praise him for that? Wait, what?
All right.
No, it's just the ridiculous that, like, I think early 90s Sting, and I picture him coming out on WCW Saturday Night, and that's the song that's playing, like Man Called Sting. That's probably my favorite of his. I soft spot for the one you mentioned, that's just guitar riff, that driving guitar riff, but it was very reminiscent kind of Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, I would give it that.
A Man Called Sting stands apart from that for me.
Touche. When I hear that guitar riff in my head, the earlier Sting song, like, it just, I don't know. That's what I picture Sting as. You know, it's that Great American Bash jacket. It's the...
Yes.
You know, it's the colorful tights, and I hear that riff. In fact, that was one song that I put my tape recorder up to onto the speaker of the TV to record.
I remember.
You remember?
I remember.
I remember, you little dork. I remember that.
Shut up. I'm recording the Rock and Roll Express music.
Don't say a word. I'm recording.
You asshole, you messed up Rock and Roll Express's music.
I get to wait till next Saturday.
I love it.
That's actually how I sounded back in 1988 too. So
you sounded like Sal Rosenberg from the Jerky Boys.
Oh my god, dude, way to go, dude. I'll bring my shoes just so I have them.
Yeah, you're asking me about the meetup. Should I bring my shoes and glasses just so I have them? You need to make an appointment.
Oh, god damn it. All right. But sidetrack. Yeah, but he came out to Metallica this past Sunday.
I heard Seek and Destroy.
Seek and Destroy. I forgot that he had didn't he come out to that once before in WCW or something?
Not that I remember.
I thought
he might have, but I don't remember him doing that.
I thought he did.
Was it against Vampiro or something?
I don't know, but maybe it was one of those. What do they call it?
Mandela effect.
Mandela effects. Thank you. There's just so many Mandela effects out there, too, by the
way. Right,
right. But maybe it was a Mandela effect where I thought he came out to that in WCW.
Okay, yeah, I don't remember that at all. Him coming out to Seek and Destroy. But yeah, that's awesome. He got Metallica to do it.
And his sons were on stage dressed as him.
One was in the red and black. The other one did the American look.
Yeah.
Very, very cool, man. What a career. Definitely one of my favorites of all time. Not a Mount Rushmore for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually talking to Christopher Dean about this. Maybe that's because, as he had mentioned in our conversation, he didn't go to WWF right away. And he kind of had lapses in between there from when WCW had closed to when he reappeared in wrestling. So maybe that has a lot to do with it for me. There wasn't that consistent run, mm-hmm. you know, when WCW shut down. Of course, he didn't need to. But I think that's why he's off my Mount Rushmore. But if anybody has him on theirs, I wouldn't argue with that.
You got to give him credit, though, to go to TNA. And I know TNA was a little, I guess you can say, mom and pop shop.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. That's true. The little engine that could.
But look what he did for the people in TNA and how much he propelled them. On top of that, not only that, recreating himself over and over in TNA, coming up with Joker Sting.
Yeah, I agree.
I love Joker Sting. I didn't think it was like the greatest character ever, but the fact that Sting took Joker Sting and made it something memorable in a positive way, unlike Maximum Sweat, which was memorable in a horrible way.
Nice.
I said what I said, Daniel. Anyways. but, you know, just continue reinventing himself and stuff like that. It was so good how he did that. And also propelling young talent and stuff outside of the Jeff Hardy match that we all remember. I think it was Victory Road.
Yeah.
Anyways. But, I mean, doing what Sting did for TNA in that small company, that just pushes him up my level even more. So he's not on my Mount Rushmore. I don't think he'll ever crack that top four.
Right.
But he's definitely in like a top 10, I would say.
So Sting had had two very distinctive looks during the run of his career, right? He had Surfer and he had the Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Best Surfer Sting figure?
I'm torn.
Between?
The Elite. And I want to say it was 62, 63.
With the white jacket and the big old belt?
Yep.
Okay.
Or the basic where he was in the orange tights.
Over the Galoob, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason, I was only thinking Mattel. No.
Shame on you.
Shame.
Elitist.
Shame.
Shame on you.
Shame. Shame. No, the Galoob is definitely best. I'm sorry. I thought we were just talking Mattel. No, definitely.
No.
No, definitely the Galoob is probably the best, if not the best, Surfer Sting figure ever.
Okay. Honorable mention, if you had to pick one honorable mention. So Galoob gets top spot.
It would probably be the Mattel.
Which one?
I'm sorry, the Mattel Elite one that I was just talking about with the jacket.
Over the basic green Surfer Sting.
Yes.
Okay. Agree with you on the best being the Galoob. You wouldn't put the Toy Biz one in there, huh? From the Sting six pack? Any of the Surfer Stings in there?
No.
Not over the Mattel?
No.
Got it. So I'm going to agree with you on the Elite Sting, which I believe was 62 or 63.
I think it was in that era.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm with you on that 100%. In fact, that's the Sting that I have in the Detolf.
Oh, yeah.
You can see him right there.
Yep. You're giving him the finger.
I'm giving Sting the old finger there.
Yep.
Best Crow Sting.
Oh, definitely the defining moment. Hands down, bar none. Don't at me.
Not the gross out. The Toy Biz gross out.
God damn it. What the hell are you doing to me over here, man?
Hey, look, you're the one that brought Maximum Sweat to the conversation. I didn't do that. You did. So yeah. I'm going to throw other ridiculous lines in there, too.
I brought Maximum Sweat in as trash. I didn't bring it in as like a serious conversation. I brought it in as trash.
I think we can appreciate Maximum Sweat
you can stop right there.
Different in the same light that the zombies and the mutants, right? They all have a certain something that's going like. It seems to me that any style of figure that comes out is going to have a fan. At least one. Somebody is going to like it for what it is, right? And Maximum Sweat was different. It would have been cooler if it was blood. I understand why it wasn't. But I appreciate how our collection, our hobby is so subjective that somebody can look at Maximum Sweat the way a mother looks at her ugly child and says, you are the cutest thing I have ever laid eyes on. And I can appreciate our hobby for being subjective that allows people to do that with Maximum Sweat, with zombies, with mutants, and with gross outs, Jeff.
Oh, by the way, speaking of fan, I have a fan. Just one.
One fan?
I have one.
You have an only fan.
I have an only fan, which if I actually started an OnlyFans, I would probably have one. It would probably be me. Anyways. So apparently Steve Fontas over at PBW did some type of like anonymous message deal.
Okay.
I guess you can like write in these questions or something, but somebody said that guy Jeff that sits in on the show is hilarious. Him talking trash about Jingle All the Way had me dying.
And there's your only fan.
And I was like, oh, cool. I have a fan. Like somebody actually appreciates me. I will take that. And kudos to that person, whoever wrote that.
Yeah. Come to the meetup person, hey, dude, who wrote that.
Yeah. Come to the meetup, dude.
Like I guarantee you, Jeff's going to buy you all the drinks.
I'll buy you all the Pepsis. I won't buy you Coke because Coke is bad. I'll buy you all the Pepsis.
I'll take a gram.
Like, oh, come on now. Wait. Not that type of show.
Oh, the liquid. Got it.
What are we? Oregon and just passing that stuff out? Come on now.
I was watching one of those just stupid reels on Facebook. Okay. The guy's like, Coke or Pepsi? And the lady goes, oh, we have Coke. He goes, I'll take a gram.
Jesus.
I'm like, it's pretty good. That's like when they come around, they're like, what kind of cheese would you like on your sandwich? You say government. I always die when somebody says that. It just is the funniest thing to me.
Not when somebody says Fremunda.
Right. That's good too.
Yeah. All right. We got to move on. Sting, thank you for the memories, man. I'm curious where he goes now. I mean, if he's just done and he's wrapping it up and does cons, or if he's in a,
you know what, if he could be an ambassador for AEW, I think that's kind of like the next phase of his career, right? It seems like he could be an agent. He could do whatever he wants to, or he could just retire and ride off into the sunset and do convention appearances. And, you know, I'm happy for him. And it's kind of crazy that we watched him break in, Jeff. We watched him come in through the Mid-South territory, through the UWF, and watched him grow. Well, I mean, that's when we first saw Sting, but that he was a totally green rookie coming in. And then to watch him take that next step, and you could see how he was starting to evolve. And then he got that main event shot against Flair at Clash of Champions. And that was it, man. That was the rocket on the back, and it was either going to make him or break him. And I think it's safe to say that it made him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he rode that wave, and I'll never forget being able to tell him all of those things very uncomfortably at Stockton Con. So I want to thank Sting for the most uncomfortable wrestler interaction I've ever had. I could not put my words correctly into a steady thought stream and look like a total idiot, much like I am now, like a complete jackass in front of one of the greatest of all time. Thank you, Sting.
I would also like to thank Sting for making me feel uncomfortable because my brother was making me feel uncomfortable regarding his conversations with you. So
you're like, dude, you're blowing it. Dude, what are you doing? I was abort, like, abort.
I was like that Homer Simpson gif, just hiding into the bushes.
Like, disappearing into the bushes.
I was like,
you're disappearing into the sea of fans.
AWKWARD, awkward. All right. Scott, do you want to talk about Power Town? Because I know how much you love them, and or do you just want to do heavy breathing noises while I read off this list?
I could do both. I could talk about Power Town and heavy breathe.
Nick Bockwinkel. White jacket is AWA title.
See the script on the back of the jacket.
Disturbing. Ooh. Oh, don't even do that. Okay. That's disturbing.
Okay, maybe you should read.
I'm gonna do the read, and you mute your mic over there.
I'm gonna breathe heavily into my microphone.
All right, Power Town All Stars. As you guys seen this past week, pre-orders went up on March 8th. Single carded figures are $24.99. Double carded figures are $48.99. So that means Magnum and Tully and the Rock and Roll Express will be $48.99 each. The single carded figures, Nick Bockwinkel, Bobo Brazil, Tito Santana, and the Missing Link will be
And Hacksaw
Jim Duggan, thank you very much, will be $24.99.
And they come with title belts that are very reminiscent of the Remco look title belts.
Did you zoom in on the Tito Santana title belt that comes with them?
I did not, no.
I think it said Powertown Wrestling in on it.
Was it supposed to look like the IC title?
If it was, they swung and missed on that one.
Okay.
It's Tito Santana in Strikeforce. So that means if there's ever a chance that they're going to get Rick Martel, I'm going to gamble on this figure and I'm going to purchase it.
You're getting Tito on the hopes that they land Martel.
On the hopes that they land Martel.
Your luck, they're going to do Martel in red like Remco did. So he's not going to match Tito at all. And you're going to be like, I bought Tito.
Total bait and switch.
It's still a great figure though, dude.
It is. It
has that Remco aesthetic to it. And I absolutely love it. Every figure comes with a belt, it seems.
Which ones are you getting, Scott?
Two Rock and Roll Express. That is one for me, one for you.
Thank you.
So do you think they're going to have the NWA tag titles with them?
I don't know.
Now, they could go the old, old NWA tag titles that the Rock and Roll Express first won.
Those ugly gold belts?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They could. Or, the NWA.
But Tully comes with the title in the Magnum and Tully 2-pack. So you've got to figure the R&Rs are going to have tag titles.
Yes, definitely.
Just a matter of which one they design them based on. But two Rock and Roll Express, one for me, one for you, because that's your belated Christmas present.
Thank you.
Magnum and Tully and Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
So this is going to lead to the question I want to ask you. Is this going to open up the superstar / Remco style rabbit hole?
Possibly.
Now, next question to follow up. Are you going to go back and get any of the superstars if you can get them for cheap on, let's say, eBay or Mercari?
So the weird OCD collector in me only wants to get guys that could have been NWA or AWA that I would have collected in the Remco line. Or that I would have wanted to collect in the Remco line. I probably would have passed on Missing Link as a kid. Just because I didn't really see any Missing Link matches. So he wouldn't have been a first choice. Bobo Brazil was before my time.
Mm-hmm.
Bockwinkle.
He's that cusp.
Yeah, but I wasn't a Bockwinkle fan. You know, as a kid, I was spending mom and dad's money. As an adult, I'm spending my money and I'm like, man, my budget only goes so far. So I think Bockwinkle's out. Tito's out. But Hacksaw's in because Hacksaw would have been UWF.
Okay.
And he's got that UWF look with the black trunks, white boots.
Okay.
Rock and Roll Express, that's a clear winner for me because that would have been NWA. Magnum and Tully, clear winners. That's NWA. That's kind of where I'm drawing the line. Like, that's my general guideline. But then they could come out of left field with a name where I'm like, I've got to have it.
Okay. So are you going to go back and collect any of the Superstars figures from Mattel?
Right. So with that said, I may open up the door to go get guys that would have fit in the AWA, NWA era, i.e. Ric Flair. That would probably be a name that I might go back and want to pick up on the cheap, maybe loose.
Hogan?
Complete. No.
No Red Hulkamania?
No, because that's not AWA Hogan.
I see what you mean, but...
Give me a Hogan that looks like Thunder Lips. The Remco Thunderlips from the Rocky line. And then I'm in.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
I am in. Yeah, so if it would have fit into like the NWA, AWA era.
Okay.
From when we were collecting Remcos, like 85 to 88, I'm 100% in.
Okay.
Our town and WWE / Mattel can play nice. And WWE / from the Midnight Rockers.
Mm-hmm.
And Powertown makes a Marty Jannetty. From the Midnight Rockers, like Powertown and Mattel are like doing the Mega Powers handshake and agree, hey, let's backdoor WWE and make the Midnight Rockers. And not even ask permission first. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, they wouldn't be able to make the Midnight Rockers, but they would be able to at least try to make Marty.
Like Steve gives the dude over at Powertown a nice big wink. Right, you got Ozer going like, Powertown. And Powertown sees him and goes, Steve, we see you. And then they're going to do a Midnight Rockers Sean on Mattel's side, Midnight Rockers Marty Jannetty on the Powertown side.
Oh. Gives them the Fonz. Hey, that type of thing.
And then maybe they put two belts with Marty because they know, yeah, you're getting the Shawn Midnight Rockers, aren't you? Here's a belt for him.
I can't wait for them to even make the AWA tag belts. And you know that they can, yes, because Bockwinkel comes with the AWA heavyweight title.
Correct. Yeah, it looks like everybody comes with a belt, which, yep, is absolutely fantastic. I love that. Excited to see who's coming further down the line. You know, you start to get excited, like we're already thinking Martel to team up with Tito because got to have Strikeforce. And he's in white already. You're like, come on, Power Town. If you get Martel, don't do him in red.
Mm-hmm.
Help us out. Give him to us in white. But yeah, that the only way that that superstar's door gets open for me is if they fit into that AWA, NWA era. And right now I'm thinking Flair.
Okay, got it.
Love that we're getting a Magnum though, dude. That's so great.
Pre-orders went up this past Friday. Again, single carded $24.99, double carded $48.99. A couple more things in the news. Grapplers and Gimmicks showed off their prototype of Waylon Mercy, the first Dan Spivey figure.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? All these years, and we're finally getting a Dan Spivey.
I know, and it comes as a Waylon Mercy, you know?
You know what? I'll take it. I know a lot of people want a Mattel version of Dan Spivey to go with that Mean Mark figure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one of these days. But you know what? You got to love that Waylon Mercy. That totally fits into the Hasbro era, too. We're talking, what, 94, 95?
Yep.
So he fits.
Also, Wrestling Collector Shop has, from the Major Pod, the big rubber guys, British Bulldogs, but they're in the baby blue. You, yeah, son, I'm trying to save money.
We're trying to go to WrestleMania with some money in our pocket.
Now I have to cash out PTO to pay for everything. Damn it.
Just when you thought you were going to Philly with money. Nope.
I got to cash out PTO, dude. I have to.
It's the insanity of our hobby, right? Because we want to save money, but then something beautiful like this comes along, the British Bulldogs in the baby blue tights. And how can you say no to that?
This is actually an interesting question. Are all these companies doing it at the right time to release these figures or the wrong time? Are they doing it at the wrong time because everybody's trying to save money for Philly? And if they would have released them afterwards.
But everybody's broke.
Everybody's broke. Or are they doing it at the right time because people have money, maybe some extra money to use for Philly?
Yeah, you're like, okay, I'll dip into my Philly fund to pay for these British Bulldogs.
Okay.
Or for this Waylon Mercy or for these Power Town figures, what have you. They're definitely for themselves doing it at the right time. But for us as collectors, at the 100% worst possible time, because we get FOMO.
Mm-hmm.
They know we get FOMO. So we're not trying to wait until a month out after WrestleMania and hope that these things are still around. No. We need to get them while we have a little bit of money saved up. And okay, fine. We'll kick $90 over to the Major Pod for these beautiful British Bulldogs figures.
And that's what I did today.
Yeah. You son of a bitch. We're in.
I could not. I saw those pop up and I was like, heading over there now.
Yep. Got to do it. Yeah.
They are free ship, $50 a piece for Davey and Dynamite. I plopped my money down. There was no ands or buts.
Canik didn't even give us a heads up on that at all. We had no idea that was coming. That's the funny part.
I couldn't believe it. I got a text message and I was like, wait, what is this?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, God damn it.
Yep, so I was just when you thought you were going to Philly with a little extra money in your pocket.
Here I was going to get one other autograph, but...
Sorry, Honky Tonk Man.
Okay, not that far. Let's pump the brakes a little bit there. Come on now. All right, that is it for the news. Scott, we got to go back to Bone Crunchers again. What are we doing here?
Do you want to end it after like Series 4?
Nah, we'll see how far we can go.
Keep it going.
Yeah, might as well. We don't have anything else that lined up after this, so I might as well keep going with this.
It kind of jumps the shark after Bad Boys. That is like the master of puppets as far as I'm concerned. Like that's my best bone crunching memory is Series 4.
Well, no, they have some two packs and stuff like that.
No, I'm kidding. But that for me is when it jumped the shark. Like that Austin figure was just incredible.
Oh, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite figure collecting memories ever, but we'll talk about that next week.
All right, let's jump into Bone Crunchers Action Series 3. We're going back in time for nostalgia. Scott, before we get into Bone Crunching Action Series 3, head on over to WrestlingFigureDatabase.com to follow along as Scott reads off this list for Bone Crunching Action Series 3. Over at Wrestling Figure Database, you can find almost every wrestling figure ever made. But this week, go into the upper right-hand corner, look for Bone Crunching Action Series 3, and follow along as Scott reads off these terrible figures of BCA's Series 3.
I thought you were going to say we're doing Maximum Sweat.
Oh, God. No. Maximum Sweat will never touch the nostalgia segment.
Well, there goes my idea for the next round.
Oh, so we were just going to do a nostalgia of horrible, horrible stuff. Okay, I get it. That makes sense.
Yeah, we're bringing back Who Booked the Scrap. Which, unfortunately, I do think that we had Maximum Sweat in there.
I think we did, actually.
Yeah, and the vibrating figures.
Anyways, check out Wrestling Figure Database and follow along for Series 3 as Scott reads off this list. Scott, what you got for BCA Series 3?
Yes, sir. Jack's Bone Crunching Action Series 3. They changed it up a little bit on the series, Jeff. The cards came out two different ways. They were die cut or square, or like they called it, like a full card.
Mm-hmm.
So they came one of two ways. It just depended on what your store got. Smaller bubble on the front and a smaller cardboard insert. So they changed up the packaging for Series 3.
So first three series, they've already changed up the card three times. I thought they had done well with Series 2 carding.
Agree.
And then they totally like did not redeem themselves at all for Series 3 with this die cut. I did not like this card at all.
Yeah, so they completely revamped the card but kept giving us repaints. In Series 3.
In Series 3, yes.
But yeah, they're paying a lot of attention to the carding and the packaging.
And WWF had a good roster going on at this time. It's like...
They did, yeah.
Okay, there are other guys other than Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, no Undertaker in this set, surprisingly.
Right, but they had good wrestlers at this time that they could have gone with. And
yeah, but they're almost like afraid of the He-Man thing happening, right? They're going to make sure that you're going to get Shawn and you're going to get Bret. They are making sure that those two guys are going to be in like every single series. So far, they're 3 for 3.
Yeah, they are.
But we did get four new names, which was exciting.
Okay, okay.
So let's start off. Ahmed Johnson. He was in red trunks on this one. And here comes Bret Hart making a perfect 3 for 3 appearance. He was in a black top with the Winged Heart logo and pink tights. British Bulldog. He had on white trunks with Bulldog on the front of them. You got Mankind. Great looking figure, I thought, for 1996-97. Shawn Michaels was in blue tights, similar to Series 1, making another appearance. A perfect 3 for 3, much like Bret. And finally, Psycho Sid. He was in blue trunks and literally looked psycho with the eyes that they painted onto the figure. And Jeff, that rounds out Jack's Bone Crunchers Series 3.
How stoked were you to get Ahmed Johnson?
Oh, I loved it. I was so excited, dude. He was, I mean, it wasn't up there with trying to land Steve Austin with that excitement level, or for that matter, Legion of Doom in the two packs. But I was very, very excited to land Ahmed Johnson on this one.
Yeah, it was one of those, you know, I'm joking around about Bret and Shawn, but it was like, oh, cool. We got Ahmed. It's not the greatest, but you know what? Cool. We've got Ahmed to throw in the monster ring.
Yes, we've added another name to the roster.
I didn't like the Bulldog, and I think it was only because of the white trunks. I don't know what it was. The white just, he wore white, but the white just didn't fit this figure, if that makes sense.
Well, and the figure itself was kind of pale.
Yeah.
It wasn't, he didn't have like that, the Davy Boy tan, which right. I think would have offset the white trunks a little more. It would have been a good contrast.
Right.
But you had a pale Bulldog with those weird arms that were kind of like, look at me, I'm a big boy. That's the way I kind of like describe those arms. And so you had a pale body with the white trunks, and it was just kind of washed out. It didn't, it wasn't a great Bulldog figure, not a great, at least a first Bulldog offering that we got from Jax. But it, again, it was another name for the roster. So we're like, okay, cool. We'll drop the $6 or $7 on this Bulldog figure and add him to the roster. And okay, maybe it'll get better. But the Mankind
was good.
It was good. Yeah, I was super excited to add Mankind to the collection. And I thought Jax did a great job. I mean, we're talking 1996 here, right?
As far as Mankind figures, it's not the best Mankind figure ever.
Oh, no, absolutely not. No.
But for this time, I thought it was a good offering for his first figure.
Yes, for 96, it was just fine.
Yeah, good. I'm not
or 97.
Say, sorry. I'm not going to say great. I'm not going to say excellent.
Good.
I'm not going to say phenomenal. It was good.
It was good.
It was passable.
Right. It was passable. And again, another name for your Jax roster now that you're into Series 3.
And then Sid, I mean, you come on now. You went from a Hasbro Sid to this. And it's...
Yeah. Yeah. And it was the same kind of color scheme, right?
Yep.
But that face. Okay.
Chad Ecto Young needs to make that his profile picture. Just that face.
Mommy, can I go out and kill tonight? Like, that is this Psycho Sid figure. Not one of his shining moments in figure form.
So, anyways, I joke around about Brett and Sean, but yes, you are correct. We did get four new names. Were the figures the best? No, but it was four new names for that time. Mankind was good. Actually, I shouldn't say it was his first offering, because if I'm not mistaken, I think Just Toys Bendems came out first with the Mankind figure.
Ooh, good question. I don't remember who got to him first.
I could be wrong on my timing, but I thought
the Wrestling Figure Database would clear this up for us.
But for actual scale figures, it wasn't bad for its first offering.
Yeah, and let's be perfectly honest. When these things were coming out, they were all we were getting for WWF outside of the Just Toys Bendems. We couldn't get these things in our collection fast enough.
Yeah,
we didn't care what they look like. I mean, to be 100% honest, in 96, 97, we did not care what these look like. We were hunting names at this point. We wanted to build our figure roster as quickly as possible. Give us all the series right now. Let us build these names up. And if you're going to give us two repaints, three repaints per series, whatever. We were buying them regardless of how they look, dude.
Yep. I forgot to pull eBay prices. Oh, my God.
Oh, you must be so embarrassed.
I am. Okay. I'm going to have to do this on the air. Scott, why'd you let this happen? What?
How busy has Jeff been at work this week?
Oh, God, dude. So for some reason, Marches are always the busiest, second busiest time of the year.
I'm seeing it on our end, too. Yeah.
Are you guys really?
Oh, yeah. We're super slammed. Yeah, we have two huge projects that we're running this month. We've been in the works for about the last four, but both of them are coming to completion this month. So we're like way under the gun right now. So I know where you're coming from, dude. March is insane. Also, on top of that, we weren't exactly planning on recording this early this week. I had something that came up at the house, so we're recording early this week. So yeah, I'm going to continue to make excuses for you, dude, because I'm going to shoulder the brunt of this one.
Okay. Okay. So Ahmed Johnson last sold eBay listing February 23rd for $17.50 on six bids.
Okay. So about 2 to 3 times retail.
Bret Hart. We don't care about Bret Hart. Well, we
do, but not his third repaint.
Yeah, not as
for his second repaint.
I know. Goldberg's probably sitting there going, "Oh, I don't care about Bret Hart either."
Oh, you mean the CEO of Mattel?
Yeah, the CEO. I apologize, folks. I should have had this. I do this every single week, and why I forgot this week, I have no idea.
Yeah, 400 plus episodes. But again, it came up last minute that we had to record early this week. So,
oh, I forgot that he had cloth tassels. I forgot about that.
Who?
British Bulldog.
Oh, that's right. He did.
Yes. Yeah, because that's right. His trunks look so tiny on him. That's awkward. That's so weird.
I got my little boy underwear on.
I've got my underoos on. All right.
Yeah, he's wearing British Bulldog underoos. Exactly.
Last sold eBay listing was... Oh, it doesn't say. God damn it. This is not going well. I apologize to everyone. And everybody is dumber for listening.
You know what you should play over this is like cars screeching and crashing like the Mankind open. It's like a car wreck.
Okay, there it is. December 24th for $25 on a buy it now.
For okay. Bulldog.
For Bulldog.
Okay. Somebody really wanted that Bulldog in their collection.
Okay, guys, stop spending money. There are so many good figures out there nowadays.
I mean, have you seen his Elite from SummerSlam 92?
Seriously?
With the Bulldog cape?
Dude, seriously, why are people spending so much money on Bulldogs?
It's insane.
What is going on here?
Wow.
We're totally making fun of them.
Well, I mean, I don't, like, again, it's all subjective.
There are no Mankinds. There are some manager series Mankinds. Holy crap. $60 sold?
MOC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So him and Bear?
Holy crap. This dude sold three of them for $60 on different dates.
Wow.
Dude.
Well, I don't remember that being the short packed.
Well, good for, you know what? Good for that guy who sold those.
Yeah, making money. Good for him.
All right. And Sid, Sid, Series 3, there doesn't appear to be any.
Hmm.
Okay.
After numerous attempts to sell his Sid, the seller finally gave up.
Nobody wanted his Sid.
No prospective buyer could get past those eyes.
I found one. Last sold December 7th, 2023. He wanted $12.90, but it's lined out, so I don't know.
Oh, okay, so he settled for 90 cents.
Probably. What's he doing? He could have Sid sign this at WrestleCon.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Dude, so many card cases at WrestleCon.
Oh, is that what you're taking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. I gotcha.
Mounty, Tito, Sid.
So I had an idea.
Sure.
We know a certain someone that's staying at the WrestleCon hotel.
Yes.
What do you say we go halfsies on shipping a box to that person at the WrestleCon hotel with all of our figures in it instead of having to fly them in a suitcase? Or are you packing a suitcase?
I don't want to pack a suitcase. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And then we could bubble wrap it, protect it. We'll talk more about it.
Okay.
Just an idea that I had.
Okay.
Especially since the certain person told us that we could keep the goods in their room after they're signed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm thinking is we'll just go upstairs, get the stuff, we'll get it signed.
And I'm going to get all the figures ready for this weekend. I'm at least trying to get most of them ready for this weekend. Is Magnum TA going to be there?
Not that I've seen.
Okay, he's not going to be there.
I checked WrestleCon's guest list 2 days ago, and I did not see his name on there because obviously I'm waiting on Shockmaster, and he still has not been added to the list.
How about the Samoans? I should say the Head Shrinkers.
I did not see them on there either.
Okay, because I know
those are ones I would probably be in for too, because I've got the Legends up on the wall.
Yeah. Honestly, because I know that Samu's starting to do conventions again.
Gotcha.
So I was hoping, I had my fingers crossed.
Rikishi will be there.
Okay. That's not a bad idea.
So you have half. So if Samu shows up, then
I might do it if Samu shows up.
Okay.
Okay.
Because you already had Rikishi sign a card case, right?
Yeah, but I'm thinking the Wild Samoan SWAT team. Elite Legends.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, it also depends on how much stuff we have in the suitcase. That's the other part.
Okay, gotcha.
So, anyways.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania season, bitches.
It is. It's a flurry of paint pens and figures and card cases and just, it's so much fun.
The ball bearing inside paint pens.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, yep.
you're hear that a lot.
You're in line and all you hear is the ball bearing inside paint pens and stuff. So
exactly. And what I'm liking too is you're seeing a lot more wrestlers showing up with paint pens in their arsenal.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Ready to sign.
I would like to say that we started that
as a community. I think we started that as a community.
I would like to say Fully Posable started that.
Oh, okay. You're going to point the figure at us directly. I see you're doing a Barry Horowitz moment here. We're patting ourselves on the back.
Oh, absolutely. I am. Dude, we started. We were the nucleus of the paint pen life.
The nucleus.
We were the nucleus.
Okay.
We were. I'm totally patting Barry Horror's seeing my back.
Okay. I'm not gonna. I'm just trying to stay humble. You know, I hope that we as a community, the Fig Life community, really drew attention to the beauty of a paint pen on a figure bubble.
Actually, you know what's funny is I would have never known about these paint pens until that one day we were getting Paige signed at
San Jose.
Yep. And that girl walked up with a paint pen and I was like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah.
And she walked away with the paint pen. I was like, wait, can we use that? And
leave that, please.
Yeah, leave that.
Gift it to Paige.
And then I messaged you. I was like, dude, what was that? The coloring thing. And you told me, it was like, I think it's these. And then that's when paint pens took off, dude.
Yeah, boom. That was it. And you can really see the difference when you put a Sharpie and a paint pen side by side on a signed figure. It's night and day. There's no comparison.
Oh, 100%, dude. All right. Check out our podcasting buddies. Check out the Rumble Wheel with Daniel Cross, the Maximum Sweat Man himself, Daniel Cross, and Brian Breaker.
Also, I hope Daniel has a good laugh after listening to the show.
Oh, he will. He will.
Okay, good.
Daniel has a great sense of humor, and he was laughing about the debate and
good
stuff.
Good. We like to poke fun, but you know, it's all wrestling figures at the end of the day. We love all of them.
He said that the Maximum Sweat Boss Man was better than the LJN Boss Man. I was like, come on. Okay.
All right. Is he like, trying to throw hands? I'm just
I think a cooler thing would be, instead of throwing hands, everybody should throw ham.
Oh, that, yeah.
That's
yeah, your mouth is wide open in a fight.
I think,
delicious.
I think we should adopt this. We should throw ham, you know?
You keep it up, we're going to throw hams.
So, you know what? Instead of like throwing fists and trying to actually hurt, we could throw ham and maybe get salt in the eye, but then the other person's like, oh, God damn it, you suck for throwing ham, but this is delicious. You know?
Yeah, like, I've never taken white bread and mustard to a fight, but if we start throwing hams, damn it, I'm in.
Oh, man, yes. Throwing hams is my new thing, dude. I'm going to go to a fight. I'm just going to pick a fight with somebody, throw ham at them, and I don't think they'll be mad anymore.
What's up, dude? I heard you wanted to throw hams.
Also, check out the Positively Pro Wrestling Podcast. Check out their Facebook group as well. Fun, interactive group over there, posting memes and everything going on over there. Check out the Stolen Gimmicks. They had two shows this past week. They had their regular show and a Revolution. Wait, what was the AEW pay-per-view?
Revolution.
Revolution, yeah. They did a review of that show. A lot of fun. I messaged Jordan. I said, hey, man, your show is really clicking on all cylinders. Good job over there, guys. Scott, I'm in this In the Marbles pod.
Has your luck turned?
No, I am actually second to the last now.
Excellent. At least you're not last.
I am not last. So what I did is, after the first two races, I decided I'm going to change it up. I am going to pick a driver that has the most wins at the next track. So this next track was Vegas this past Sunday.
Okay.
So I picked, I think it was Keselowski, Brad Keselowski. Well, Keselowski finished 13th, but for some reason I dropped in the standings because everybody else picked the winner and people ahead of Keselowski.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, not doing
you know
well.
What? Stick with it, dude. Stick with it. That's an improvement, right? In terms of your performance so far, your individual performance is an improvement.
I dropped in the standings. How was that?
Understood. Understood. But your individual placement in terms of like how you've been picking drivers, like have you had anybody get as high as 13th yet this season?
No.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You improved. So if you see improvement, you got to stick with that method.
I forget what the next track is, but I will pick the guy who has the most wins there.
And don't forget, if you're not last, you're still last.
Thank you, Scott. But also check out In the Marbles pod where they talk all things fantasy NASCAR. Check out the Legendary Wrestling Figures with Brian. I was texting Brian. He was not going to get the Bulldogs. And then I get a text message. He goes, I got the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
So yeah. He jumped
it's
in on those.
FOMO, dude. They are so good.
It is. It is. So he also had Kyle Peterson on as well this past week. Good job, you guys. Check out Work the Arm podcast with Jeff and Jamie. Pod Subject to Change with Nick Dunham and his two kids. Trivia with Buds with Ryan Buds. Ryan, thank you for donating to our giveaway. Chick-fil-A Show with Seshina Marco, RJ at Ringside Rant, Boots the Face. With EJ and Rucker, they were at Revolution in Greensboro. Check out Pulling Up the Chair podcast and Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. Scott, roll call.
Yep, going to throw it out to Jason Wolf. Check out his custom shop, Chop Shop, with his amazing custom figures. You will not be disappointed. Jason does amazing work. That's Jason Wolf, W-U-L-F. His social media is The Art of Jason Wolf. And, of course, going to throw it out to Steve Hoker on TeePublic. Head over to TeePublic.com. Search store name Starman NJ. That is Steve's store. All proceeds that Steve gets go to a different charity every single month. They go to a great cause. Please support Steve and some of your favorite podcasts on TeePublic at store name Starman and Jay. And Jeff, that rounds out roll call.
And Scott, that rounds out episode 424. Anything else?
Yep. So the reason that we were doing the show a little bit early this week is we have to put our big dog down on the night we normally do Fully Posable. We went ahead and scheduled it. He's 17, part German Shepherd, part Chow. Cool dog. When Shannon's mom moved in, Puffin is the dog's name. And for those of you wondering, why is your big dog named Puffin? That was the nickname that one of the girls next door gave to Hugh Hefner. That was her kind of pet name for him. And Shannon used to watch that show religiously. So when we got the dog, she was deep into the show, loved it. And so that's how the dog got the name Puffin. So anyway, when Shannon's mom moved in, she kind of adopted him and he really became her dog, but we're going to miss him. He's a good, smart dog. He can't walk anymore. So we're going to have to say goodbye to him on Thursday, which is why we had to do the show early this week, which is why you didn't have the buy it now prices. So we appreciate you guys sticking with us on that. And just want to say we love you, Puffin, and you are a great dog. You will be missed tremendously. Stay safe, stay healthy, big license 2016, and happy toy hunting.
I still remember when you got that dog. It was out in front of Walmart.
Yeah, it was a Walmart dog. Yeah, the little girl that sold it to us sold him to us for $20 promised us that he was potty trained. Spoiler alert: he was not. The first thing he did when he got to the house was piss on the floor.
Oh shit.
Yeah, he did that too. Yeah, he was not potty trained at all. But I still have a picture of when Alana first saw him, and because it was her first dog. She was, let's see, that was in 2007. She was 6. And we had her come home from school and I brought him out of the bedroom. I had her close her eyes and I held him in front of her face. And I said, open your eyes. And she opened her eyes. And I still have the picture of that moment. It was captured. And just the love and shock on her face was just immeasurable. And I'm happy I still have that picture. And it's going to be hard for her to say goodbye as well. And this is the hardest part of owning a pet, is watching them cross that rainbow bridge. And it sucks. But, you know, you don't want to trade these feelings for all the great years that you had with them. So he will definitely be missed.
Yep. And how's Cindy doing with it?
Not great. It's going to be hard.
Understood.
It's going to be hard. Again, this is the absolute hardest part of owning an animal. And I've always said it's harder than losing one of your human family members in a lot of cases, because you get unconditional love from this animal, and it's, you see them every day. They dominate your life to an extent, and it's the hardest part, saying goodbye. It's the worst part of being a pet owner.
Well, we'll all miss Puffin, dude.
Thanks, ma'am.
Want to thank everybody for listening to 424 hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Yeah. Fully Posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Toon Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.